I want to, with the few minutes we have left tonight, just briefly turn to a passage that the Lord dealt with me about earlier this year, about a month ago. And I want you to open your Bibles, please, to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. I want us to begin reading in verse number 3 of 1 Timothy chapter 6. We went through the pastoral epistles recently in our Bible class, and there's some things there that we went over that the Lord really spoke to me and even rebuked me about. And I want to share a few of those things tonight. 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning in verse number 3. If any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strives of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you'd bless now the brief time around your word, that you'd open our hearts and minds, Lord, to receive correction and instruction and exhortation and encouragement. And we ask, Lord, that you'd bless also the communion to follow. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, in verse number 3, it's very clear. Paul says, if any man teach otherwise, he's coming to the conclusion of his book here, and he spent a lot of time going over some different things about the ministry, some things that Timothy is to remember in the church, some different practices that the good minister is to undertake. He spends a lot of time on those in chapter 4 and chapter 5. And he's coming to the end of this, and he says, if anyone is teaching otherwise and consenting not to wholesome words, and he draws here a contrast from verses 3 to 5 between true and sound doctrine and false doctrine. Did you kind of catch that as we read here? There's some different points that are characteristic of true doctrine. Then there's some other points that are characteristic of false doctrine. And let's look quickly at this contrast that Paul brings out. First of all, when he talks about true and sound doctrine here in verse number 3, he uses the phrase in the description, the wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. The wholesome words of Jesus Christ. When I looked at this word wholesome in the Greek, it's the word hygieno, which really we get our word in the English hygiene from. We get our word hygiene, and it means to be well, to be healthy. Wholesome or healthy words of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul here is saying that when we teach and follow after the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ, that it is something that is pure. It's something that is right. It's something that does not corrupt us, that something that doesn't give us disease. It's something that is not cancerous. It is a wholesome, it is a healthy thing. It is something that is a benefit to our bodies, our spiritual bodies in the sense that he's using here. It is guaranteed that the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it is wholesome, because it is healthy, it is guaranteed that it will not have a bad effect upon you. That's one of the contrasts of sound doctrine versus false doctrine. And of course, the Scripture is the source of this healthy doctrine. The Scripture alone, what it teaches, is a source of doctrine that has a good effect upon us, a doctrine that brings a benefit to our hearts and lives. Then the second point about the true and sound doctrine in verse 3 is that even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. Not only will true doctrine give you a healthy outlook in your spiritual life, it gives you health spiritually, but it also leads you to godliness. And when you look at the word in the Greek for godliness, it has to do with coming to a respect for the Lord, coming to a place in your life where you view the Lord with a look of one that is to be revered, one that is pious, one that deserves respect. And a Christian, when he follows the true and right doctrine of the Lord, he ends up with a right view of God. So not only does true doctrine give you a healthy spiritual life, it also gives you the correct and proper view of who God is. Who is he? And what is your accountability to him through the Scriptures? Now, he spends then verses 4 through 5 giving a kind of a lengthy description of false doctrine and how this false doctrine is different than the doctrine that we talk about with the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, he says in verse number 4 that it is involved with disputes that lead to envy and strife. Disputes that lead to envy and strife. Look in at verse number 4. He is proud, knowing nothing but doting about questions. Now that word doting is kind of a unique word. We don't see that much anymore. We don't walk around using the word doting very much. But in the Greek, I found this to be very unique that this word is noseo. Now, when I see that word, I think of the word nausea. You know, noseo, nausea. It kind of has that same meaning. Rather than, it's a stark contrast here. He used a very specific Greek word. Wholesome or healthy words of Christ in the Scriptures versus these doting doctrines, these doctrines that are sickening. literally the understanding in the Greek. A doctrine that makes you sick spiritually. A doctrine that has not a good effect upon you, but a bad effect upon your spiritual life. Sickness of the spiritual heart as opposed to the health of the doctrine that we find through the words of Christ. The first contrast here. Then he goes on and says in verse 4 that they are concerned with questions and debates or strifes. And literally in the Greek, the wars with words is what the concern of false teachers is. And they are so concerned with the types of words and questionings and wrangling over or small little things that they become sick in their doctrine. And the things that they teach now don't have a healthy effect upon believers, but they have an effect that draws them away from the Lord, an effect that makes a sick spiritual body. Paul consistently talks about this. Let's look quickly in the book of Timothy. Flip over to chapter 1, verse 4. This is a big emphasis of Paul in the pastoral epistles about healthy doctrine. Chapter 1, verse 4, he says, "Don't give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith." In other words, all these questions don't edify or build up. They make you spiritually sick and tear you down. Look again back to chapter 6 in verse 20. Chapter 6, verse 20 of the same book there. It says, "O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith." Getting caught up in these babblings, these vain words, these empty words that have no value. Continue over to 2 Timothy. He continues these exhortations in chapter 2 of 2 Timothy. Verse 16, these are very familiar verses. "But shun," 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 16, "shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness." What did the healthy doctrine do? It increased to godliness, to having a proper view of God. But these getting caught up in the vain, empty questions and profane, unsacred things leads you to a view of ungodliness or a lack of respect, a lack of reverence, a lack of piety toward the things of the Lord. And then one last verse here in verse number 23. "But foolish and learned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife." These things are unhealthy. Paul's very adamant about opposing these things because they destroy. They eat away at your spiritual heart like a cancer does, spreading through someone's body, destroying living tissue. Well, these different things that Paul is warning about, this false doctrine, works not to build up the body of Christ, but to eat away the living tissue, so to speak, of the body of Christ, the unhealthy doctrine. Now, back in 1 Timothy chapter 6, the attention here of false teaching, what false teaching does is turn attention away from God's ministry and what God says in His Word to focus on man's debates, man's divisions, man's questions, man's interest versus another man's interest that result in envy and strife rather than growth and edification in the things of the Lord. Healthy doctrine builds up the believer. Man-centered doctrine destroys the believer. Another point about the false doctrine that he brings up is that he talks about in verse number 5, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds. This is literally a continuing rubbing against, kind of like a friction. These disputings are always having a friction with the things of the Lord. You know, as believers, when we hear a truth or we hear somebody teaching something, we need to check it out with the Word and say, "Lord, does this rub up or cause friction against your Word?" That's one of the indicators that it is a false doctrine, a continual friction to the truth. And then a final thing, number 3 here in verse number 5, not only does it destroy like a cancer because it's unhealthy, not only is it a friction against the Word of God, but thirdly, it's something, false teaching is destitute of the truth. Destitute of the truth. Now, as I studied this word out in the Greek, it indicates that they once possessed truth, but that they have allowed themselves to be defrauded or robbed. That's what the word destitute means. Somebody has come along and robbed or defrauded you of that truth, and you've sat back and allowed it to happen. You've allowed, because you wanted to get concerned in the things of man, because you wanted to get caught up in the questions and the strifes and the babblings and the vain talk, because you wanted to get concerned with those things, you have allowed the truth to be taken away out of your heart by those things. Paul says in the end of this verse number 5, "From such withdraw thyself." Now, with that as the background of false teaching versus true teaching, I want to bring out a second point here tonight. And this is something that the Lord really spoke to my heart about, is the motive of false teachers, the motive of false teachers. And as I studied these things, I began to, really, the Lord rebuked me for it. And I said, Lord, I don't want to have these motives in my ministry. I don't want these motives to be found here in our church at Grace Bible Church. The first motive that he talks about here in verse number 4 is the motive of pride. The motive of pride. False teachers are self-centered. False doctrine is self-centered. It's the word tuphoo, which means to inflate to the point and to be filled up with smoke, that you are walking around literally in a smog, and you're surrounded with this smoke, and you don't see what is right. You don't see what other people are saying. You don't see the truth. All you see is what? Yourself. And that is really a good definition of the word pride, that you are beclouded, or you're in this state of stupor of the mind that prevents a proper judgment as it comes to the things of the Lord in His Word. Pride blinds people to the truth. If pride is in your heart, you will refuse to acknowledge what the truth is. You will refuse to say, Lord, you'll read the Word and you'll say, Lord, that's not me. Your Word's not talking about me. I'm in this smog of myself and I don't even know it. And I can't read and understand and judge properly what the Word is telling me. You see yourself that you know everything. And you cannot see the truth that is going to rip you down and destroy you and break yourself down. All the things that are characteristic of false doctrine, all the questionings and the babblings and the doting about questions and the striving, what is the root of all those things? It comes from a heart that is centered in pride. Why do men get into disputes and debates and all those things in religion and theology and all that? It's because they're full of pride. They want their view to be up front and everybody else's view to be rejected. All this blogging that you see on the internet all the time, people, well, my view is this, and well, my view is this, and what is it? It's nothing but pride. And they're consumed with these vain, empty conversations that are going to end up leaving them, drawing them away from the truth, having an unhealthy spiritual life, and it's going to end up putting them in a smog to where they think they're right and they cannot perceive and judge the truth. Now, the first motive then for a false teacher is pride. What leads to false teaching? The first thing is pride. The second thing, and this is the thing I wanted to get to tonight as we come to a conclusion. In verse number 5, they're destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. The second improper motive in the ministry is that of a desire for gain. The profession of Christianity that they make is their source of gain. They use the ministry to increase their personal lives. They use the ministry as a reason to increase their own gain. Why false doctrine then? Why go against Scripture? You could ask the false teachers, why do they go to false doctrine? Why are they going against Scripture? It's for gain. It's because that they are deep down unsatisfied with what God has given in the ministry. The title of my message tonight, as we close, I'll bring this out, is Contentment in the Ministry. That's the thing that the Lord really spoke to my heart about, contentment in the ministry. There is a prominent desire today for gain in the ministry. Men aren't happy with what God's given them. Men are not happy with the church God has given them. There's always a problem with it, and we wonder, and we try to, how can I work this out to get this and to get the gain and to try to build up this ministry with all the programs and all these different things? Why is men focused upon that? It's because they have an improper motive. They're not content with the ministry that God has given. The church, so many times we think, well, the church is too small. And we need to get some people back in here. And we got to build the church out. And what did I do wrong? And how am I going to build these things back up? That's nothing but what? It's the pride in the heart. And it's being discontented with what God has given. The temptation then, when you are unsatisfied with what God has given you, the temptation is to turn to what? To false teaching, to false doctrine, to go against the Bible. Why? So that I can have gain. This gain is what is the godliness. This gain is what is going to be the index of whether or not my ministry is godly. And Paul clearly says they suppose that gain is godliness. The misconception many times, and this is the thing the Lord rebuked me for, the misconception is that position and gain indicate the level of godliness in the ministry. So we have to become focused on men in the ministry. What does man want? What does man need? I was reading through that book, parts of that book again, This Little Church Stayed Home. I've assigned that book to my 11th and 12th graders, and they're reading it and doing a book report on it. And as I was reading through some of those things, and even I was talking to Zachary about that book. He's really enjoyed reading that book. And we were discussing some of the things in there. And I tell you that men get so focused on polls and surveys, and he brings those things out in that book. Well, what are we doing with the ministry? We're not content with what God's given. So I'm going to go out and poll people. I'm going to go out and ask these questions and center my ministry upon what man wants rather than what God's already said in His Word. And that is the wrong motive of a false teacher. You know, the answer in verse number 6, the answer is so clear that godliness with contentment is great gain. Be satisfied with what God has given as the church. And don't try to make it something more than what God's intended in pride. Don't sacrifice truth for what the world and false teachers consider to be gain. And that is so easily the temptation today. The call here that Paul is making throughout this entire book of the pastoral epistles is for faithfulness. Faithfulness. God takes care of numbers. God takes care of building His church. It's His church. He's going to build it. He's going to take care of it. He's going to do things through His will and through His plan. And when we get discontented or unhappy and dissatisfied about the things that the Lord's put us in, the church that God has given us, we get dissatisfied with those things, then pride's going to come in. And then we're going to start thinking, okay, what can I do to get this better? What can I do to get something more than what God's maybe intended for us to do? Rather than being content, say, Lord, I thank You for what You've given me. Help me to be content. Help me, Lord, then to be faithful and let You take care of the rest of the things. Be content with what God's given you in the ministry. Continue in faithfulness. Don't get caught up in building the church out of pride. It's the Lord's job. Many turn to false teaching. Why? So that they can have gain in the ministry. And this was so clear to me as I read these passages, and I've thought about and prayed about so many times. It's discouraging at times, sometimes to think about the church and different people go to different churches and the church gets and then it goes down small again, and it's just up and down, and you say, Lord, what am I doing wrong and what's going on here? And it's so easy to start questioning and say, Lord, what do I need to do? Be faithful. That's what the Lord wants us to do. And the Lord really rebuked me when I read these verses and said, Adam, you're not being content. You're not being content with what the Lord has given you. Don't suppose that gain is godliness. That's what leads. Sure, they may have a lot of gain. Is that an index to the godliness of the church? The Lord is looking for people that will be faithful, for people that will serve Him, that are content with what the Lord's given them, and are faithful in the ministry without compromising the Scripture to get something that God did not intend. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank You so much for this passage that so clearly rebuked my heart, Lord. And I pray that You would help all of us in this church, that we would be content and satisfied with what You've given us here, Lord. We have such a wonderful ministry, such a wonderful opportunity to serve You and others here. Lord, help us to be content and faithful and to just trust in You. Lord, You're the one that's going to take care of all these things. Forgive us, Lord, when we rise up in pride and think there's something we've done or something we can do to change what You've done for us. Lord, forgive us for those improper motives and help us to just rest and be content in Your work, Lord, and to be faithful to the holy word of God. That is going to be healthy doctrine and build us up and edify us in the Lord. Pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.